Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Rockcast, and here with another episode of Tipsy Tuesday. It is March 24th. I think we're 3 weeks into this coronavirus deal, and so I hope everybody's staying safe and coronavirus-free and just enjoying the time with family if you have work off. Here in the Midwest, we're out on the ranch, and if I didn't have the news or social media telling me what's going on, I wouldn't know. Not too much has changed besides the grocery store is pretty much bare. But anyways, yeah, I hope everybody's staying safe. But never a better time than to be on the Rockside forums during your quarantine. So go over and sign up for the Rockside forums. It's a good way to get some new info on gear coming out, old gear, really anything. So a lot of people starting to post their gear lists and asking what everybody thinks of them. And yeah, so just a good time to head over to rockslide.com and check out all the gear reviews and then get on the forums and kind of get in on that conversation and ask questions, answer questions, help some people out. It's pretty cool. So just rockslide.com to do that. And a little new tidbit about me, First Light, some First Light people came to hunt with us here on the ranch this year, and they had a camera person follow me around, and they just released a little video about that and a little bit more about me over at firstlight.com. I'll just link to that and some of my favorite pieces for the whitetail stand. But so yeah, I'll link to that. It's just a short 5-minute video. It's pretty cool. And then also just a quick deal also about the ranch. We have multiple archery antelope spots still available for August and September. And then we're going to offer a whitetail velvet hunt this year. It's going to be the first week of September, for whitetail. So if you're interested in that, check out runningwaterhunting.com or just shoot me a message or whatever. But wanted to put that out there. So, our latest episodes we've done, we had Josh Boyd on talking about his rifle that he's shooting this year, and then or the rifle review that he just did. And then we just had Les Welch on as well, talking about his 2019 elk hunting year. I think they killed 9 bulls and hunted a couple different states, and there's some good info there. So head over and check that out if you haven't listened to that yet. New Rockside articles. 12 Power Binos, the perfect optic for Western Hunter by Jake Potter. And I'm kind of hopping on that bandwagon this year a little bit. Later on for the Hot Minute, I'm just going to go through some gear items that I'm switching up and some things that I've changed, new things I'm trying. And that's one of them is 12 Power Binoculars. So, but yeah, Jake did that. It's a cool article, and I'm excited to see how it's going to work for me this year. And then I kind of rolled back on a couple of them. S&S Archery Backcountry Trekking Poles. I reviewed those 2018 is when I reviewed those. And they're good little trekking poles. I really like them. They're super light. The grips are comfortable. It's kind of like a foamy grip. And they're twist locks, which I like. And yeah. I liked them, so go check those out if you are looking for a new trekking pole. And those are from S&S Archery, so they're right here in the industry. You're not kind of branching out too much. You're kind of staying within the industry. And another one I rolled back on was Backcountry Water Sources and Purification by Jason Brooks. So he wrote that quite a while back. I'm not even sure how long ago that was, but just talking about water purification and filtration, which is always nice. And then over on the Rockside YouTube channel, Robbie Denning just posted up a new video of Kuyu Superdown versus the Western Mountaineering Badger. He just posted a video as he did a soak test. So it's super interesting. You should go check that out. And it goes right along with a forum thread that he's got going on that I'll touch on here in just a second. But he just has a forum thread going with Kuyu Superdown sleeping bag versus Western Mountaineering Badger sleeping bag. And he's just doing some testing and stuff. And that's all in the forum thread, which I'll link to below, of course. And then just the last thing for the Rockside YouTube channel, don't forget about the video that Robbie and I just released for hunting big mule deer in high country with Robbie Denning, kind of in the high country. Yeah, that mule deer video is up, and we've been getting a lot of support and good feedback on that. So thanks everyone for watching it. And if you haven't, now's just as good a time as any. Moving on to some hot news. So there's a 5-day waiting period for Idaho residents purchasing capped elk zone tags in 2020 there in Idaho. So basically, if you apply for a controlled hunt, and you cannot purchase capped unit tags until 5 days after they go on sale. And when I say capped, I mean it's basically an over-the-counter unit. You can just go buy a tag, but they have a cap on it. So you can just go buy a tag, but there's going to be a point where they're going to be capped and they're not going to sell them anymore. So that's what I mean by capped. And it's designed to reduce the initial demand for first-come, first-served capped zone elk tags. It's not going to apply to non-residents in the 2020 season because non-resident elk tags have been on sale since December 1st of 2019. And another one here, Montana is temporarily suspending their hunter ed classes because of the coronavirus. So obviously that doesn't surprise me. A lot of things are shutting down for the coronavirus. But this one is going to make a little bit of difference because they're not going to have their hunter safety card to apply for the special permits and licenses. So it says Fish and Wildlife is looking into options for that. So if that's going to impact you, you probably just need to, I would just really be in touch and kind of stay on top of it so you can get in the first class after this thing is hopefully blows over. So yeah, there's that. And then Montana as well, but like every other state is doing the same thing. They're encouraging people to apply online instead of in person or sending in their application. So just do it online. They're just trying to limit, obviously people-to-people contact. And there's new legislation that could digitalize public access points. So basically, they're wanting to create an easy way to access public lands through digitized integrated mapping. And they say in there, and this is in quotations, a lack of information about publicly available outdoor recreation opportunities depresses participation. And this is an interesting one that our writer Josh Boyd sent over to me. He had a couple of articles and something he sent me a while back, but this one's interesting. The Yukon opens 40-mile caribou herd hunt. It says, as the 40-mile caribou herd population bounces back from the historical laws in the 50s to the 70s, Canada is opening a hunt for the first time in 25 years. The migrations between Canada and Alaska reached lows of 5,000 to 7,000 animals, likely due to overhunting, environmental changes, and rebounding in predator populations in the 1990s. It says by 2017, the population increased to around 84,000, and the new harvest opened January 1st, and it will include a summer fall hunting seasons. So if you are interested in that, I would look into it for sure. All right, then moving on to some important dates coming up. So we're at March 24th here. And yesterday, the 23rd, Arizona leftover elk and antelope permits became available. So they could be gone by now. I don't know. But the leftover did open for Arizona yesterday. The 25th, so tomorrow, North Dakota sheep, elk, and moose application deadline is tomorrow. And then the end of the month, the 31st, the Wyoming bison application deadline. And then April 1st, the South Dakota deer archery application deadline. So I know there's been a lot of talk on the forums about hunting South Dakota lately. And then the 7th of April, Colorado all species app deadline. So you have until the 7th of April to get all of your Colorado applications in. And the 24th of April, Kansas non-resident deer application deadline. And then the end of April, you'll have the Idaho Moose, Sheep, and Goat app deadline, application deadline. So I'll touch on those again, I'm sure, here in a couple weeks when we do another Tipsy Tuesday and probably go a little bit deeper into the next ones. But everybody just needs to be sure to hit those deadlines. So moving on to hot forum threads, rolling right back to the YouTube video that Robbie did, the KU versus the Western Mountaineering thread. I'll post that down below, of course. And then there was another forum thread going on of YouTube hunting and fishing shows. So, of course, everybody is quarantined or supposed to be quarantined. And they're trying to kill some time by watching, you know, catching up on your YouTube videos. So there's a bunch of people that list channels in there that they like. Slightly honored because I was one of them. So anyways, there's a bunch of them in there. It's cool if you want to go check those ones out. I posted up a throwback episode. We're getting up there in episode numbers, I think. For, I don't count the Tipsy Tuesday ones, but I think we're up to like episode 52, 53, 54, right in there somewhere. With the one that'll post this Saturday, it'll probably be like 54. So that's awesome. We appreciate all the everybody listening, and we're kicking out episodes as quick as we can. But for a throwback episode, I chose this one. It's the Backcountry Gear List with Dustin Whitwer. I chose that one because everybody's starting to kind of get their gear list figured out. We're rolling into spring where we're going to be doing some bear hunting, turkey hunting. I think that's the only kind of hunting you do in the spring, I guess. And then on into summer, and people are going to start thinking about backpack trips, scouting trips, tag draws are going to start coming out here before too much longer. And people are starting to get their gear list together and trying to figure out what gear changes to make. So I'm just going to throw back to that episode, the Backcountry Gear List with Dustin Whitwer. And then one thing I want everybody to kind of remember is that the Rent Guns and Gear guys just came on as a Rockside sponsor, and that is a rental company for high-end gear. So just don't forget about that service this year if you're wanting to try something new before you buy it. We did do a podcast with them at the Western Hunt Expo if you want to roll back and listen to that. On to the Hot Minute. So for this Hot Minute, I'm just going to go through some of the gear that I'm going to use this year and looking forward to using, and things that I kind of switched up, and maybe why I did it or why I'm going to do it. So first, starting out with footwear, boots. I used the Crispy Colorados last year. I reviewed those. I'll link to the review in the description as well. I really like those boots. I like really, really like those boots, but I'm a gearhead, and when I was at Western Hunt Expo, I went over to the Go Hunt booth, and they have a new footwear selection. A lot of the kind of mountaineering boots that you can really only try on at like an REI or something. But now Go Hunt's selling them, so I went over to their booth, tried a few on, and ended up with the Salewa Rapaces. They look like Rapace, but I think they're Rapace. And so I'm going to try those this year. They're a pretty stiff boot, pretty comparable to the Colorado, maybe just a touch stiffer. But they're not extremely stiff, but they're pretty stiff. So for hunts this year, for filming wise anyways, the first week of September, I'm going to go to Idaho and film a bighorn sheep hunt. And then I think we're trying to put together a Kodiak mountain goat trip. I'm going to go do with the SIG guys, so we'll see about that. But that's kind of the, I try to pair the La Sportivas on, and I think that they were the Techs, like the Trango Tech, and they're much softer. They're a little bit more flexible, and I really was going to go with those and kind of go back to try a more flexible boot, but with those two hunts coming up, I wanted to try the Salewas. A little bit stiffer sole for that rough country we're going to be in. So that's what I'm going to try for a new boot this year, is the Salewa Rapace or Rapace. And then I'm going to get a hold of the Crispy Ativa shoe. So if you are a Salomon Speedcross fan, a lot of people wear Salomon Speedcrosses around. I know like Brady Miller is kind of known for wearing them in the backcountry. It's like a trail running shoe. I'm not much of a trail runner or like a trail shoe user for like backcountry purposes when I'm actually hunting. But I do like them here in the Midwest running around. They're just a lightweight shoe. I'll use them as a gym shoe, anything like that. But the so Crispy came out with the Ativa shoe that's super similar to those. It's lighter. I like the sole a little bit better. What I've worn, I wore them around Sheep Show for a couple hours when I was there this year. But yeah, I think I'm going to get a hold of those shoes. So those are kind of some new ones I'm going to try just kind of as a gym shoe, running shoe, everyday shoe. Yeah, I would say lightweight scouting shoe. So those are interesting. And then on to shelters. We got a 12 by 14 wall tent. We got ours from Davis Tents. And we ended up with the Antelope package, which gave you like the tent, it gave you a floor. I got a you got a stove with it. You get like the frame. It's an internal frame. It's I thought it was really easy to set up, but we used that on a cow hunt last year, and I like that quite a bit. So we have that wall tent that we're going to use on our cow elk hunts this year. I guess barring if we draw or not. So that's new for us. And you know, before we probably just would have used the sawtooth, the Kafaro sawtooth, and then had that little stove in there. But, we're, you know, truck camping, there's two of us, plus we have these animals, and having a wall tent's just nice because you can really spread everything out. And on a hunt like that, where it's just really cold, the days are short, you spend a lot of time inside, we decided to go with a bigger wall tent, which was a good idea. It's really nice. And then I'm switching up my shelters a little bit for backpacking. You know, I've been a longtime Kafaro user, and I still love those things. I've used the Megatarp for a long time, and I'm gonna try the. I just bought a little bug out shelter from Seek Outside, the base and the vestibule. Basically, what I was looking for was like a one person, I guess a one person hot tent. So one, like a floorless shelter that was pretty light to pack in. And then I could just use it for myself and a stove. And really for some of these film trips that I'm doing is the reason that I did it. Wanted a little bit more lightweight option, but still wanted to be able to take a stove with me. So I was really looking at the Silver Tip, and I still might go that Silver Tip route. You know, I've had the Megatarp for a long time. And then I've been around the Super Tarp a little bit. I was going to go the Super Tarp route, but I just wanted to try something different and try to go with one with just one center pole, more like a teepee style. Instead of like crawling in and out one end, you can, it's just a little bit different. So that's why I'm going to try that one. So I ended up picking up a little bug out on the Rockside forums. And so I'm going to try that one for a bit, and yeah, it'll be interesting. But when Jordan comes with me to, when we go, like we're gonna do a big backpack trip this summer to scout a new area, we'll pack the Kafaro sawtooth in for sure. It has a bigger footprint, but for two people it's really nice, and you can stand up in it, which is super nice. So that's kind of what we're doing. And then I also have the Hilleberg Nyack, I've had that for quite a while. And I'm going to use that for the Kodiak trip, but that tent's just really nice for if you want like a freestanding one-person tent with room. It's pretty light. It's a nice tent, so that's what I use. Pack-wise, probably going to stick with the Kafaro Fulcrum. You know, I ran the Hoodlum a bit last year and then kind of switched over to the Fulcrum, and I've been fortunate to try dang near every Kafaro pack that I can think of. And I just really keep coming back to the Fulcrum, and I really keep coming back to the Reckoning. Those are a couple that I've really never got rid of. And I love that Fulcrum. It's gigantic, but it can compress down really good for shorter hunts or day hunts or whatever. So big Fulcrum fan. But I'm going to use that for the backcountry. And then I'm going to use the Striker for day hunts and kind of Midwest hunts. I wasn't sold on the Striker at first, and then I saw it at the Sheep Show. I helped Kafaro with their booth, so I got to mess around with it quite a bit. And yeah, ended up taken one home, and yeah, I've been using the heck out of it. It's really nice having that load sling so accessible so easily for, you know, all kinds of things. We're bringing, you know, we're packing blinds around, especially with turkey season coming up. You know, we'll throw a couple blinds on that thing and go walk down the river and put blinds out and chairs and all that stuff. So the Striker is going to be really nice for us this year. A sleep system. Like I said before, I picked up the Western Mountaineering Badger last year. Really after Ryan was using his, it was, we were on like a mid-October hunt and it was pretty cold. It got down single digits for sure. And, I was using the Kafaro 0 degree, synthetic bag and really just wanted to try something a little bit different. Ryan was using the Badger and really liked it. And so that's the route that I went, picked one up, used off the Rockside forums, and yeah, been really happy with it. The other reason I did that is because Jordan and I both needed bags. I had two earlier season bags, but I didn't really have two late season bags, and we were doing the late cow hunt. So anyways, that's why I did it. But getting along with that Badger really well. And then the Bora Bivy is the other thing I'm going to pick up this year. It's another thing Ryan was using. Instead of using like a ground sheet, he just had his sleeping bag in that Bora Bivy and then protected the bottom of it pretty well, protected the bottom of his pad pretty well. And I don't think he slid around as much as I did on that piece of Tyvek that I use. But like just to kind of go into this a little bit further. So I do have that Kafaro Slick 0 degree. That's a synthetic bag. Does better in, you know, moist climates. It can get wet and still hold its heat retention value, most of it anyways. I think Aaron said it holds like 95%. So I'll use that. Like if we go to Kodiak, that's a place that rains a lot and it's just kind of wet and whatnot. So that's a place that I would bring that bag for sure. But in the basic Midwest, or not the Midwest, like the West, I would say like Colorado, Wyoming, Idaho, most of Montana, all those places where it's like pretty dry climate, and I would use a down bag for that and not be too worried about it at all, especially if it's in that bivy. And then another thing that I got, instead of using that piece of Tyvek I was just talking about, you can slide all over that dang thing. I just picked up a Seek Outside Matty McMatt face, and it's just a really thin piece of foam mat, I think, and it's kind of tacky, so you don't slide around on it as much. And then it can also add some more heat value, I guess, to your sleeping pad if it's on top of it. Acts as a ground sheet, kind of keeps that moisture away from your, from going through your pad up into your sleeping bag. So it might help a little bit on the warmth wise. And then sleeping pad wise, I reviewed the Nemo Longbow pad not too long ago, probably just last December. I'll link to that. And I'll be using that one unless weight isn't an issue, or it's going to be like a really late season hunt that we're packing into. I want a little bit more warmth in that pad. Then I'll switch over to the XPED SynMat 7. I don't even think they make that SynMat 7 anymore. But that's what I'll be doing there. Optic wise, I'll be using, so I'm going to use SIG optics this year. Trying those out for the last year and a half or so. And I've really, like I said before, with that 12 power, I'm trying to deviate from carrying Tempire binoculars this year, and I'm just going to go with 12s. Before, I would bring, like on a mule deer hunt especially, I would bring 10-power binoculars on my chest, 15-power binoculars that I would use on a tripod, and then the spotting scope. This year, I'm going to try to switch it up a little bit, and I'm just going to go with the 12s, the 12-powers, and then I believe they're 12x50s, and then they're just what I've used of them so far. I haven't had them too long, just a couple weeks. They can be interesting to use handheld, but I think on a tripod with that little extra power, it's going to be nice. And then I'm going to be cutting out a certain weight value. I don't even know what it would be, but it has to be a little bit of weight by cutting, you know, that middle binocular out and then just having the spotting scope. So that's what I'm going to try on this year. And then I also got a pair of 8 powers that I'm using the tree stand. I've really never used 8 powers. And another thing I thought about doing, depending on the hunt, is I might try to carry eights on my chest in my bino harness, and then take 15s as well for like archery hunts when you're in close. That extra field of view with eight powers might be nice, and then have the 15s on the tripod for some extra power. So it just depends on the hunt, but really what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to slim things down a little bit and just run the 12s. That's kind of my main deal this year. And then archery equipment wise, I'm going to try day six arrows and broadheads this year. I wasn't planning on switching up arrows, Brian with day six asked me if I would try a couple different arrows out and just see what I thought of them versus what I was using before, which was the Black Eagle Deep Impacts. And nothing but good things to say about those Black Eagle Deep Impacts. Been using them for probably the last 3 years. And yeah, they've just been as good an arrow, I guess, as I've used. And then I'm going to use the Day 6 broadheads this year. I was really sold on those type of broadheads. The one that I actually was around that really sold me on it was Iron Will. But I decided to go the Day 6 route just after just doing some research and whatnot. So that was just kind of a personal preference deal there. So I went the Day 6 route, and we were on the Crispy Elk Hunt this last year, and they were using the Iron Will, and he shot an elk at probably 45 yards, passed through the elk completely, and I picked the broadhead up and felt it, and I was like, no way. Like, it was razor sharp. Like, you could have definitely shot it again. I think that broadhead was sharper than broadheads that you buy off the shelf coming straight out of the box brand new. So I was really sold on that type of head, and just kind of decided to go the day six route. But prior I'd been using the Grim Reaper Hades 3 blades, and I liked them okay. I thought they flew well, and I killed most of my stuff with them. So, I think for off the shelf, they're a good broadhead, for me anyways, they were. I don't know how, I guess, durable they were. I never shot one more than once through an animal. And then I bought the Matthews VXR this year. I'd been doing some stuff with Obsession the last couple years, and I think they're making some company changes, so I'm not doing that anymore. So I went out and bought the new Matthews VXR. I shot a few of them, but I kind of had my heart set already on a VXR, but I really like it. Ended up buying that from No Limits Archery in Denver, and then so I shot the Obsession Lawless last year, and it's for sale if anyone's interested. 28 inch draw and 55 to 65 pound limbs. It's kind of flashy. It has the Stars and Stripes Stars and Stripes limbs, and then the riser is, I think they call it the veil pattern. It looks almost exactly like the First Light Cypher pattern, but it's black. So just throwing that out there if anybody wants a new bow. And then the other thing I switched up on archery equipment, I switched a few things up actually. I went to a Hamsky drop away rest. I'd been using a Trophy Taker Smackdown for the last couple years through 2018 to 2019. I had issues with it. It was the day before my Arizona elk hunt in 2018. I was, after I got there, pulled my bow out of the case and was shooting, and my arrow went like all flying crazy like and completely missed the target, and my rest didn't engage, so the prongs didn't get out of the way basically when I shot. And that was because of a spring issue. I don't think that spring is strong enough, I guess, to really reset that every time. So what would happen to me is I would set it, and then after a couple weeks, the prongs would start working their way up. Like, I thought at first it was because like my D-loop material was stretching, but, which that could have been it too, I guess. But so I would tighten it. I would retighten it, and after a couple weeks, it would act like it was stretching back out, so the prongs wouldn't completely get out of the way of my fletching. And then finally you just tighten it so much that when you shoot it breaks, and then it just basically doesn't work anymore. So that's the issue that I had with that. From what I hear, that's kind of a newer issue with the trophy takers. I think the old ones didn't do that, I guess, from what I hear from some really good archers that actually still use those rests to this day. But the newer ones are a little different. Fast forward to 2019, we were going to leave for my high country archery mule deer hunt in Wyoming on like a Friday. And I think the exact same thing happened in my rest on a Wednesday. And I just happened to have an extra, so I threw it on. And it worked okay for until we got back. And then I completely switched everything up and I went to a ham ski. And I'm not like a bow tech whatsoever. I can do the basic things mostly because YouTube teaches me, but like that ham ski just seems way more durable as far as like the spring and the setup. And it just seems like you handle it, you use it, it just seems like a way better system. So I don't see myself switching from that. And I'm still using the Spothawk Tommy Hawk sight for sure. And then I changed my stabilizer system. I tried to go to a quivalizer, and that is basically your quiver that is also your stabilizer. So you can switch it, like you can mount it on the side of your bow, just like a regular quiver, while you're walking around or whatever. And then you can put that stabilizer, you can put the quiver, take it off the side and quick attach it to the front. So it's a stabilizer. It was okay. I don't think I was as stable with it as I was with, like, I always used to use a back and a front bar, and then I would have the quiver on the side. And that's what I ended up going back to with a little bit of variation. But I didn't really mind it. I like the sidebar a little bit better is all. So what I'm using this year is I'm using just a 6-inch B stinger, for my back bar. But for my front bar, I'm using a crossover 1017 front stabilizer. So they are basically extending stabilizers. So you have a twist lock just like a tripod leg, and it collapses. This specific one collapses down to 10 inches, and then it extends out to 17 inches. And you can stop it anywhere in between there if you want, because it's just like a tripod leg, a twist lock tripod leg. You can put it out, you know, eighth of the way or halfway or whatever, tighten it down, and that's where it's going to stay. So you can really tune it to how you're shooting, I guess, and what's most comfortable for you. And then I went back to a tight spot 5-arrow quiver. Those tight spots seem to work well for me, sit super nice close to the bow. And clothing-wise, I know I'm partial to First Light, but something new from them, I'm super excited for the Ridgeline pullover shirt. It's basically a quarter zip pullover shirt, long sleeve shirt, no hood, and it's their nylon material. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be similar to like the Sitka Core hoodie, which was a shirt that I liked quite a bit. And for like early season hunts, you just throw it on over a t-shirt, and it cuts the wind just enough that it just makes it a super, super comfortable shirt. I cannot wait to use that thing. And then of course I added the gray color. So I'm probably going to get it in earth brown, but they do have the gray color as well, and it looks really cool. So, accessory wise, real quick, changes that I've made in that. I changed it from I changed like my main lighter, the lighter that I carry, I guess, closest to me or have the most access or use the most, whatever. I changed to a Brutane torch lighter instead of a Bic. And I couldn't tell you the brand. I really don't know. But it's like it has a big push button, and then it has a lid that flips over like where the flame comes out of. And when that lid's flipped over, the button doesn't work. Like it won't light. It won't even try to light. But when you open that, when you open the lid, then it does light. I don't really know why it does that. I guess it could be a failure point actually, but it's going to be better than a little Bic lighter, I think. But of course I'll have another Bic lighter somewhere And game bag wise, using Argali's debone game bags and also the Argali fixed blade knife, I did use it last year for fall, but kind of previous or prior to that, I guess, I was using like the Taito Zula, like the SE Zula knife, and kind of differences between the two. I like the handle on the Argali a little bit better, and I like the blade shape a little bit better. It's a little bit bigger, but it's still pretty dang light, and I like the handle better, so that's just kind of a personal preference there. But I do like that knife quite a bit, but still carrying replaceable blades for sure for the Taito. And then on the food-wise, I didn't want to touch into this too much, but there's like recently some new bars I found that I've really been liking, and they're from Redcon One, and they have one that's like a cereal bar, and they try to make them to where they're like cereal brands, like Fruit Loops and like Cocoa Crisps, like Cocoa Crunch, I guess, I don't know, but there's a bunch of them, and all the flavors that I've had are super good. And then they also have a meal replacer bar that's been really good as well. Their flavors are on point, and they don't have that like chalky, tacky protein taste, I guess, like whey protein taste, which I love that a lot. So I just wanted to put those on there. But if you have any food questions and you're looking for food stuff, we did do a podcast back in episode 3 with Jaden Bales. You can go check that out. So hopefully that wasn't too lengthy. But those are some of the things that I'm changing up. And some upcoming episodes I have, this Saturday, we're going to do a bow head-to-head. I hopped on with a Rock Slide member that did, he shot like 6-7 different bows, and he did like speed tests on them. He did how loud they were. He did a bunch of different comparisons and just told you about the feel and what he liked about them. So we talked about those. It's a great podcast. And then I need to record one here coming up for a newbie. Like, I put out on the forums that I wanted like newer people that haven't come out west yet, that were really maybe kind of confused or whatever, just to ask questions. And we got a ton of gear questions. So we decided to split those up into two. And we're going to do one gear podcast, just call it probably the newbie gear list. And then we're going to do another one where it's like more of a Q&A, how to hunt type of thing. And probably with that one, I'm just going to reach out to writers that kind of specialize in that, to get another take on it. And then I'll probably do another podcast for newbies, like probably by myself, and just go through kind of what those writers said about that specific question. But anyways, I'm going to be doing that gear list, and it's basically just my take on getting into gear, what's important, what's not as important, things that maybe you can skip on the first year, some things to keep in mind, maybe hunt styles that would get your feet wet into the Western hunting, but maybe not get you in as deep wise in the gear. And that just all has to do with the style of hunting that you're going to do. So I'm going to do that one. I need to do that pretty soon. And that'll be coming up as well. So hope just everybody stay safe. Quarantine yourself as you see fit, and try to use hand sanitizer if you have any. And don't watch the news too carefully. Get outside and just enjoy time with your family. So hope everybody has a safe week and a great week.